Psalms chapter 1. Let's talk about loyalties. Let's talk about friendships. I do this by assignment from the Spirit of the Lord. I tell you in advance, I know that I know that I know when God has spoken. So I want you to pay very close attention. All the word is profitable because it's the truth and we live by it. But this particular lesson comes to me to do for you. I've been sitting on it for weeks and weeks. I even said to Wayne, one day I'm going to do that. And I felt this was the time. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Tells us what kind of alliances not to make. You see the progression, walk, stands, and sits. You know, if I'm downtown and I pass you by and I'm walking and you're walking, I'm not in too much trouble. I'm listening to what you have to say, but I'm going about my own business. I have an agenda. I'm focused on what I'm doing. But if you get to telling me something I'm interested in, we're stopped now on the street corner, and I'm looking at you and you're looking at me and I'm listening. So I'm digesting more of what you have to say. I'm becoming more a part of your life, and you're becoming more a part of my life. But then if we sit, you see, then you're in big trouble when you sit. And this word actually indicates you rest and recline. We become bosom buddies, so to speak. And we sit together and we talk together. And so we're of influence one to another. Now this verse tells us what people should not be of influence in our life. And the word in the King James is counsel. We might use the word advice. It says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Tells us what not to do. Don't stand with him and don't sit with him. Now, we're going out to win the world. We have an anointing from heaven and a endowment from on high to be witnesses. But when we go out as a witness, we go out to influence their life, to shine on them, not to allow their worldliness and their sin to become a part of our life. One of the things that hurts people that come from sin, one lady, they asked her what her background was, talking about church backgrounds, and you know, if they asked me, I said I was a Baptist, they asked her, and she said sin, it was sin. That was her background. When you come from that kind of background, some people get so enthused about winning their friends in that background to the Lord, they go back in that background before the light has totally shined in their heart. There has to come a point of strength. And when we have the right alliances, we strengthen one another. And there has to come a point of strength whereby we could go back and do some things and say some things without being affected by where we have been, that we're totally changed, and the change that came the moment we accept Jesus as Savior and Lord now is a change on the inside. It's a change that's fed by the Word, that's nurtured by the Spirit. It's a change that causes us to mature and grow. Now, when you read this first Psalm, it talks about that change. It says, His delight is in the law of God. If I'm going to associate with anybody, I'm going to associate with Word people, with God's people, with people. You know, not all God's people are Word people. Some of God's people don't read their Bible. I say if your Bible's in the back of the car since last Sunday, you need to get two copies, one for the house and one for the car. Not all of God's people cherish the Word. When you talk about delight in something, most people talk about chocolate. I'm not really a chocolate fan. But when they come from Moscow, they came recently, they always bring me chocolate. Moscow is the highest consumers of chocolate in the world. I'm assuming that's because it's cold and chocolate lights your fire or something, I don't know. But a lot of their chocolate is mixed with coffee. Now you've got me. I'm not a chocolate fan, but I'm a real coffee fan. I'm a professional coffee drinker. I did not drink coffee for 10 years for that reason, because I believe in moderation. The Scripture teaches moderation. It's because I couldn't be moderate, I decided that I would not drink at all, and that works better for me. I'm better at abstinence than I am at moderation. Abstinence I can do, moderation I had to learn. So now I drink about 3 to 5 cups a day. Somebody watched me and said, you drink a lot of coffee. I said, oh, no, you don't understand at all. I used to drink every single day 24 cups. Every day. I was not ever affected by the caffeine. If I did, I didn't know it. I was always affected by the Word of the living God, which says, do all things in moderation. And every time I'd come to that Scripture, I'd think I instantly have this flash of that coffee pot 3 times a day. Nobody's home but me. I drank all 3 8-cup pots myself, by myself. And I thought, my, you ought to be moderate. And I couldn't be moderate, so one day I decided I just wouldn't drink coffee anymore. Moderation is the key to anything you need in God. If you're struggling with the flesh, the key is moderation. If you have to do abstinence to get to moderation, that's the way it works for me. That's what I have to do. Now, it was the Word of God that brought conviction. It wasn't the caffeine. And it wasn't your opinion. I don't really care what you think about 24 cups of coffee a day. If I did, I wouldn't tell it. I'd keep it a secret. I tried hot tea. That didn't work for me. I do drink some tea now, because once you cross the Atlantic Ocean, if you don't drink tea, you're in trouble, because the coffee is putrid. That's my personal opinion. And I am a real coffee drinker, but I can't do coffee that walks alone to save your life. So I learned to drink tea. In Russia, we go into the tea shops, and when you open the door, it's a tiny little shop, but the tea is stacked to the ceiling. And the odor of all the teas, fruited teas, and we don't know much about tea. When they come, they bring me chocolate and they bring me tea, because they know that is two of my passions. That's what I delight in. And see, in this verse is talking about your passion, what you delight in. Now, yesterday I fixed a pot of fruited tea. We are so used to fruited tea that when we fixed plain old black tea, Wayne says, "What is this?" I says, "It's regular old, you know what brand that we always buy." That's what it is. He said, "Oh, okay." And they make spice tea. My. I can just stand there and take a deep breath. They love to see me coming, because they know I'm going to buy every fruit in the market. They have grapefruit tea and cranberry tea and tea with five or six different fruits. And they have ginger tea. And they have one called winter tea that absolutely would cause you to roll over and play dead. You'd be saying, "Tea for the next week. Tea, bring tea." It is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And it's become a passion. We travel and we take advantage of the good things. We get to experience the bad things as well. But we take advantage of the good things, and it's a passion. And it says you're not to align yourself with some people, because they don't know truth. They don't walk in truth. They're going to mislead you. They're not going to give you right guidance, but you're going to align yourself with word people. People who delight in the word. People whose passion is God's house and God's word. Now, there are a lot of Christians that come and go. They're in church some. They read their Bible some. They pray if they have an emergency, or they may pray once a week. They don't have a passion. Now, if you watch a guy who has a passion for any football team, or some of the women too, I guess. We have a few of those in our family, but not in my household. Thank you, Jesus. And they have a passion. And they gather and they all watch the game together so everybody can holler, "Kill it," at the same time. I went and watched, and your best view is to sit by the TV and watch, look out at them watch the game. That's where the fun is. I'm thinking, my, y'all are crazy. But they have a passion. They're crazy people, but they have a passion. And if you're going to align yourself with somebody, you're going to prosper and profit. You've got to align yourself with people who have a passion for the Word of God. There are people I know who have a passion for God, a passion for His Word, who know how to pray. Those are the people I'd want on my side. It has nothing to do with how much I love my family, but some of them don't read their Bible. I love them. I'm going to get them all a Christmas present. I'm going to eat with them, encourage them, smile at them. But I won't need, if I need prayer, they're not the ones I'd ask. Because they don't have a passion for God. See, and if I'm going to align myself, this man with a passion for God, this one with a passion for God, do you see in verse 3, bears fruit? You know you're supposed to be a fruity Christian? Is that good news? Because some of you have made it. You're supposed to do a work for God. You're supposed to be known for your good works. We talked about that in other lessons. Your leaf doesn't wither. When your leaf withers, you wilt, you fail, you faint, you fall away. You do foolish and wicked things. You're disgraced, dishonored, and not valued. That never happens to word people. Is that amazing? Those are the people I want on my side. Those are the people I want to be anchored to. You know, in the disciples, when they got in trouble, Peter and John were arrested in the temple. When they were let go, it says they went to their own company. Now, they were witnesses. They were out in the world. They were preaching and they were teaching. They were arrested for their strong stand in God. So they were not at home sitting on the sofa crossing their arms, because they didn't want to associate with sinners. We have to be very, very careful when we homeschool our children that we don't protect them. And our children, some of our children in our family are homeschooled. And for them, I believe it's right. It has to be right for your children. But we have to be careful that we don't protect them so that they're not exposed to the world. We are in the world. We're not of the world. But we're in the world. And we have to know how to bump shoulders with the world and still be the light that God deemed us. This is what happened in the Dark Ages. They took all the monks, took the gospel, and put it in the monasteries, and the world went dark and black, because it had no word, it had no gospel, it had no light. They took all the light and they guarded it in those big monasteries, and they are beautiful buildings, and those are holy men. But the theory was all wrong. What we have some things in us that are nurtured by us and nurtured by the company we keep. Nurtured by the company we keep. And those things that are nurtured in us, nurtured by the company we keep, nurtured by our time in the Word and your time in the Word. See, if one lady told me, she said, there's a movie playing you would really like. This is a decade ago, and I don't even see one movie a year. I just don't like movies. I may have to sit an hour and a half. I mean, who wants to do that? And she kept saying, it's a movie you'd really like, movie you'd really like. So one day, Wayne and I were trying to do something, and our friends called and said, let's do something. And I said, well, why don't we just go to this movie? We'd really like it. That's what she told me. Oh, it's the last time. She wasn't one of y'all. I know y'all would never mislead me like that. We're sitting at the movie. I only go to one a year. Well, sometimes only one every 5 years. I can tell you the movies I've seen. I've only seen 10 or 12 in my lifetime. I'm just not a movie fan. Has nothing to do with your life. Your life is not my life. If it's not illegal, if it's not immoral, you just go right ahead and enjoy yourself. That's how I feel. I just don't enjoy movies. I don't see any, don't watch any, don't have any, don't collect any. And about halfway through the movie, it was so vile. I don't know why I sat so long. It suddenly dawned on me. I came to myself and I said to Wayne, do you think Jesus could come tonight? He said, maybe. I said, let's get out of here. Oh, my. I love this lady, but she was not of my company. She doesn't go to church here. She's a fine lady, loves God, but she's not. She just doesn't think like I think. And she misled me. And I listened, and I went astray. I would never, ever, ever want you to know that I spent 30 minutes watching that movie. I will not even tell you. You needn't even beg. It was wrong. It was vile. And suddenly it was like I was numb. And suddenly I came to myself and I elbowed Wayne. And this lady's on my side elbowed her. And I said, do y'all think Jesus will come? And she said, let's get out of here. And we did, boy. We took off. Everybody else loved that movie. They're mesmerized. You probably saw it. Shame on you. They're mesmerized. They're just going. There are some things that people will lead you astray, but if by the Spirit, God's word, you obey, and if you surround yourself with obedient people, then you can obedient be, and their influence will be good for you. It'll cause you to rise higher and higher. It'll cause the word in you to aspire. See, there's some things we have to be careful who we associate with. That doesn't mean I'm going to ignore you. You know, if you're a blabby, blabby person, do you know there are blabby, blabby people in the world? You know, all of these kind of people are in every family. I don't have to talk about your family. I just talk about mine, but then they'd find out about it, and I'd be in trouble. So I'm not going to talk about it. But we have blabby people in our family. I mean, they're just blabby. I see them coming. I think, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time for that. I don't have time. Now, Wayne Cumbie loves to talk to you, and he'd be glad to take time with you. And so one day he was going into Lowe's, and I had our daughter. She's sitting in the back. We were in a hurry to get back to the office. We were doing some things, and she thought I was going with him. She says, Mama, you going to let Daddy go in Lowe's by himself? She knows he never reappears. He's always captured by somebody. And he tells his whole life story, and he listens to their whole life story. If you want to tell your life story, start with him and come back to me when he says you should hear this, and I'll be glad to listen. I'm really actually a very good listener. I said, he's got his phone on him. We'll phone him. After a while, we have to phone him and say, we're waiting. Are you coming soon? Are you coming soon? We have work to do in the office. We're waiting nicely. You know, nicely after a while, nicely turns to a not so nicely. Have you ever had that happen to you? Now look, these people bearing fruit, they don't wither, they don't faint. In other words, they're people of peace and people that walk in love. They're not up and down and in and out. If you have an up and down and in and out friend, you need a friend that's steadier than that. If you can't depend upon your friend to influence you for God. Oh, for years, because things didn't go well in ministry for us. Number one, I'm a woman. There was decades of time when that made a tremendous difference. And I'd get discouraged and I'd say, I'm going downtown to get a job. Every time I'd say that, one precious lady saying, what do you think you could do? The only thing you know is Bible. Let's stick to that. And she was an influence. She knew what I needed to hear. She stuck by my side. She didn't say, okay, just go get a job here. I'll help you. Let's read the paper. No, she tried to help me avoid the pitfalls that emotion and discouragement were bringing my way. And if your friend causes you to be more emotional, more discouraged, you need a new one. I know from the way the Lord's dealt with me that somebody has some wrong alliances, some alliances that are causing pain in your life. You need to turn loose and move on. I just tell you that because I'm certain of that. Now look, it says these people are going to prosper. They're going to bear fruit. They're not going to wither. They're not going to fade. They're going to be steady, and they're going to prosper. Those are the kind of friends. Now turn at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Been there and done that already. Be not deceived. You know your friends can deceive you. They can lead you astray. They can cause you, the word, to disobey. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That word communications means companionships, translated by most translators as bad friends or bad company. The translators say bad friends will ruin your habits. Bad friends will corrupt your character. And the contemporary translation just says bad friends will destroy you. Do you know there are some people that we need to hold at arm's length? You know, if you're blabby, 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 then I'm going to hold you at arm's length. If you're a gossip, I'm going to hold you with two arms' length. I see you come and say, hey, how are you? Good to see you. God bless. And I'm going to keep on moving. I'm not even stopping because I know you got something to say, something to tell. I ran into a gentleman and he said, I've been thinking I might meet you. I wanted to say something to you. I wanted to ask you something. And about three words out, I thought, no, you don't want to talk to me about that. Gossip. Wanted to tangle me up in something evil and unkind. Wanted to get me to say, oh, yeah, that was terrible. You know, if it was terrible, it's none of my business. I wasn't there, wasn't involved, didn't say it. And it's not that I'm staying neutral. It's that I know how to mind my own business. See, if you have friends that mind your business where they're not needed, you need to back up. Are y'all hearing me? You'll still love me when I finish, right? Feel so led to do this for you. Evil communications. Now look at Galatians 5. There's a couple people that know everything about everything. They just do. They always know. Wayne and I say, have you seen so-and-so? I said, no, I haven't seen her. He said, me either. I said, we'll call so-and-so, ask her. She'll know. Because she's nosy. You need to mind your own business. If you're nosy, I assume you're going to call them and love them and help them, not just talk about them. Galatians 5. This has to do with correct doctrine. The Galatian church was inundated after their salvation experience with people who said you have to obey the law and you have to be circumcised. We talked about the law and how that Jesus fulfilled the law, and the law has now fulfilled its purpose, and we have a New Testament. We're not under the old covenant. It has principles for us. It brings us examples to follow and truths that are helpful to us, but our doctrine is in the New Testament. So people had taken the Old Testament law of circumcision and obedience to the law and tried to mix and mingle it with salvation, and that's the question here. It's false doctrine. It's false teaching. You see, in recent days it was said, it distresses me, something like this, it distresses me that God's people are so gullible. I was listening to a tape and that was said. It distresses me that we're so gullible. Because there's false doctrine, there's false teaching, there's wrong doctrine that will lead you astray. Now look at this. This is all that's happened here. It said, verse 7, you did run well. In other words, they had the truth. What caused the truth to be eroded in their life? Their friends. Their alliances, they elect people among them who were teaching wrong doctrine. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Would you see that? WHO, who? Is that a person? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So they were running well, they were obeying the truth, but now they're hindered and hampered by the people they're associating with. This persuasion comes not of him that calls you. In other words, you didn't hear that from God. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now let me read you the New Living. It takes only one wrong person among you to infect all the others. And the word is infect. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about corruption. This talks about infection. But all of these are words are change. When something is corrupted, it's changed. It deteriorates. It's changed from a good, pure state into something that's no longer pliable or usable. And when you're infected, you're changed from pure health, from good health, into health that's not as good. And so it says these people can come along and can infect you. Now look at 1 Corinthians 5, and the word changes in the New Living. I like the New Living because it gives us those three words, corruption, infection, and then this says affection. Now this has to do just with sin, not with wrong doctrine, but with sin. It's commonly reported, verse chapter 5, verse 1, there's fornication among you, such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. We're assuming his stepmother, not his mother, but who knows? Verse 6, it says, your glorying is not good. Know you not a little leaven? Leaven's the whole lump. New Living says, how terrible you should boast about your spirituality and allow this sort of thing to go on. So don't you realize that even one person allowed to go on sinning, soon all the others will be affected. So can you have close associations with people who are in sin, who are wrong in doctrine, and not be affected according to the scripture? You cannot. You will be eventually affected. If you stick close to somebody that's wrong, eventually some of that error will rub off on you. It amazes me in the marriage relationship. I've seen it over and over again where one person is really wrong, and after a while, if the other person doesn't take a stand and uproot that, they both are wrong together. We knew a lady that sued this business because she slipped and sued this business and sued this one and sued that one. Her husband said, they just don't keep stores clean like they used to. He just assumed his precious wife, and she was a precious lady, but she was wrong. It wasn't the store's fault. It was greed. And see, he lived with her in that close association. Next thing you know, he just thinks that all these stores are out to get her. I never said a word. But you know, you have to be careful in not saying some things. You have to know by the Spirit what to say. One lady came and asked me a question. I just didn't feel to answer. I found out later I should have answered. A month later, some awful things happened, and she said, Becky said. She took my silence as agreement. I never said a word. Now I got to straighten that out, see. I found out there's a time when you have to say. You have to be nice. You know, Christians are nice people. Did you know Christians are nice people? I just say, you know, we don't agree, so let's don't discuss it. And I say to myself, this is my last lunch with you. I don't say that out loud. I said, we don't agree. Christians are nice people. We're not obnoxious. We're not hard-headed. We're not about bad things. We stand for right. We're walking in the light. We're growing in that light. We allow that light to pour out of us. And we don't allow people around us that dim the light. Well, let's read some other scripture. Look at Proverbs. Is this all right? Y'all making it? The scripture has a lot to say on this subject. Just a lot. Proverbs 12:26. Now when you read Proverbs, will you get you a translation beside the King James? Because the King James, the New King James, are not going to help you understand Proverbs. I'll read you the King James and I'll tell you what it says. It says, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. The way of the wicked seduces them. The translators say the way of the wicked will lead you astray. You can't live with wicked people, stand with wicked people, allow them to talk to you, to be always in your face and always in your ear and not succumb to some of their thinking. It won't happen. Unless you're strong in God, unless you delight or have a passion for His Word, a passion for His Spirit, unless you're aware by the Spirit, this is an influence that's going to lead me astray, but I must God obey. Now, the word righteous is more excellent than his neighbor actually says. The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, is what it really says. See, and if I want some guidance, I want to put these up here for us to look at. I want someone who's righteous. Now, there's two kinds of righteousness. We just taught that. There's three tapes in that teaching. There's right standing and right living, and we're talking about people who have right standing with God and live right. You know, you can be guided by somebody that's living right and living for God and living in love and living in peace. You can allow them to influence your life. You can listen to what they have to say. See, we're not only going to be influenced, but we're going to be people of influence. We're going to grow and mature so that when I speak, you can trust me. One day as a test, I said to a class, I said, did y'all know Wayne and I were getting a divorce? And they went, Now, why did they believe that? Because I always tell the truth. I wouldn't divorce Wayne Cumby if I hated him, because you're not having him. And by the way, I don't hate him. Been married 42 years. And I'm guarding him with my life. Years ago, a lady came talk to Wayne. She's much too friendly. Front row. Much too friendly. And finally, I got up real close, stood by his side, you know. See what she's saying. And then I realized that she thought she should have been, somebody told her there was a single man up there that she'd be interested in, only he was in the next section over. And I said, this one is mine. You see that white head over there? Go for that one. He's single. She didn't think that was a good idea. She'd already set her eyes on Wayne. She went, ah. She took one look and went, ah. I thought, you know, that lady, that is a precious man. If you want guidance, you want somebody that lives right. Now look at chapter 13, verse 20. He that walks with a wise man should be wise. Do you know wisdom can be caught? Who is our wisdom? 1 Corinthians says Christ is our wisdom. Colossians 2 said all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in God. Christ and God is our wisdom. That's why we pray that Ephesian prayer for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of Him. There's any wisdom. It's found in God. And people who know God have a passion for God, a passion for His Word. Those are the people that bear fruit. Those are the people that don't wilt and don't faint. Everybody wilts from time to time. But it's wonderful to have somebody by your side. If I feel myself wilting or going under, I call somebody. I could call any of y'all and say, I think I'm going to faint. I call Susan a lot. She's my faint-proof person who tells me I can't faint. She's all the time telling me, no, you're going to fight a good fight and finish the course. I want to go, oh, shucks. I wanted to faint today. I just wanted to faint today. I wanted to give up. I wanted to quit. I live under pressure. I don't know if you've noticed that, but lately I live under great pressure. If you walk with the wise, you'll capture some of their wisdom. I ought to have wisdom to share with you, and you ought to have wisdom to share with me. Now, the people that we can't associate with, if you're not listening to what I have to say, and I can't absorb what you have to say, then we're not benefiting one another. Wisdom has to go one way or another. Either I have some wisdom to impart into your life, some things that would help you, or you have some things that would help me. I'm listening to you. If I can't listen to your words, and you're not going to listen to my words, then I need to move on. Now, here's what I'm going to do, but I'm not moving on too far. I'm going to move before the throne of God and pray. I'm going to pray for you. And the thing we do for these people is we pray for them. See, you can't make anybody walk right, live right. You can't make them wiser. You can't make them see the error of their way. All they'll do is think you're a crazy person. But you can pray. And sometimes to back up and pray is your best line of attack. Just say, I love them, but they always cause me to be depressed. You know, if you say, do you know the dog died? I have had such a hard time. Do you know? Did you know? Did you hear? And when I get through with you, not only was I depressed, now you're depressed. You need to back up. You need to disassociate. You need to keep your distance and go to Father and say, I'm praying for her. She embraced the truth. Depression's not the way to live. Peace is a way to live. Godliness is a way to live. Well, we have to move on. Look at chapter 22, is it? Oh, that's chapter 23. I knew that didn't look right. Chapter 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. I couldn't have made it any clearer. Oh, somebody's always spitting fire. You need to back up. Now here, let me help you. One lady told me, I was teaching about Satan and the works of Satan and what we could, he kills, steals, and destroys, and he's the author of deception. He's more deceiving than any created being. And when I got through, she said, I don't think you understand. All you've told me won't work for me because I'm living with Satan. I married him. Well, I knew her husband, so I knew that's partly true. He was a booger. So what am I going to do? I'm living with an angry man. You know, just make sure you're not the angry woman. This is what close associations were for. Peter and John got in trouble, but they went to their own company. Peter got arrested, but when the angel turned him loose, he knew right where to go and where he went. The household of people were praying for him. He had a group of people and associates that helped him, that lifted him up, that guarded him, that guided him. And our friends are supposed to give us wisdom, wisdom from heaven. They're supposed to help us to bear fruit. They're supposed to hold us steady. And if I have family members, whether it's a husband or a child or a mother or an aunt or an uncle, if I have family members who I cannot, you know, you can't divorce your family members. Sorry. If they're the problem, you be the answer. And part of the answer is having somebody. When I call and say, my Aunt Betty is driving me crazy. She's been here for 2 days. She's going to stay 2 more days. I'm going to kick her out on her ear. To have you say, love one another. Love one another. Becky, this is the happy way. We're supposed to not hinder one another. We're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to lift one another. If you have a bad marriage, a bad association in your family that you can't move too far from, you know, some people, I can keep my distance from you. I'm a great waver in passing. I just wave and say, hi, how are you? Good. And keep moving. I'm not talking to you. You're a gossip. But there's the aunts and uncles and the other people. We're just stuck with them. What are we going to do? First of all, I'm going to be a person of word and person of the spirit. I'm going to be a person who's bearing fruit and a person who doesn't wilt. I'm going to nurture those things in my life, person of peace, so that I can pour those things into my family so they'll just know. Becky's not going to talk to you about that. So they'll just know that. She ain't going to tell you that, they'll say. And I think, thank God for the Spirit of God. But if I get to the point where I am beginning to wilt, where I've nurtured myself and I need help, if you need help, you need help. A minister said that. I love that. It's saved me many times. Said, if you need help, you need help. David prayed a wonderful prayer. He said, help me, Lord, help me. It's just that simple. Well, don't call a gossip for help. Don't call a person who has anger problems. Don't call a person who's bitter for help. You need to call someone who's strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Years ago, I felt this lady was strong in prayer. She didn't live here. Strong in prayer. Strong in prayer. Everybody said, my, she can pray. My, she can pray. My, she can pray. I heard that for several years, and I had this revelation. You know, it'd be good if I spent some time just listening to her pray, standing by her side in prayer. So I found out where she's praying. It's about an hour drive away. I called and said, I'm coming. But they knowed me. They thought I came with some kind of revelation or word from the Lord, which I didn't, by the way. Didn't know anything. I just wanted to get in close association with somebody that could really pray. I went 5 or 6 or 7 times. Drove straight there. Drove straight home. Got home on time. I just wanted to stand real close and listen. I just wanted to be a part of her prayer life. I wondered what she had, if it was good to be a part of my life. See, and there's some good things that people have they can share with you, and there's some good things that you have that you can share with others. If you're a good, patient, kind mother, you can be a real help to mother who's losing her cool all the time. I know they lose their cool because the lady in the grocery store had 3 babies. And one of them said something, and one of them had opened a can of potato chips, and she said, will you kids stop it? You're giving me a nervous breakdown. I'm just assuming she was a sinner. I don't know that. Anyway, turn to 2 Timothy. Make no friendship with angry people. Stay away from angry people. Stay aloud from them. If you live with them, pray, read and pray. Nurture the spirit in your heart day by day. Nurture your friends who will help you obey, who will stand by your side and remind you of God's way. Verse 22, chapter 2, flee. There's some things you flee. I think there's some people you flee. But follow righteousness. That's those people that live right. Faith, people who have faith. You know, faith comes from the Word. These are God's people. These are Word people. These are people of peace. Charity, which is love and peace. Flee, but follow with them. You see that with them? Follow with them. In other words, we're walking together, and if I'm going to walk with somebody, I'm choosing somebody that's not into lust, but's into righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And it says they have a pure heart. Now, even people with a pure heart make a mistake, say things they shouldn't say. I've said things I regretted. I'm always glad when somebody teaches that says things that's not quite right, because I think, I feel better about myself. Because we're not perfect. That's why we need one another. That's why we need one another. My. Let's read a couple more. How about 2 Corinthians 6? I want to read that out of the Living to you. I have seasons of translations. I like, for years I read the New Century, and this is my season of the New Living. I don't know. This stuff happens. Verse 14. You can look at yours. Let me read to you. Don't team up with unbelievers. Team up with. That's what I want you to see. You know, angry people are not on my team. People are furious, always gossiping, are not on my team. People that are misinterpreting the Scripture cause me to go astray, cause me to miss the bounty and the blessings of God. They're not on my team. That doesn't mean I won't speak to them. Doesn't mean I won't preach to them. Doesn't mean I won't talk to them. Don't mean I love them. Listen, Jesus preached to the multitudes. You get this, because this is what I have in my heart for somebody in particular. Jesus preached to the multitudes, But at the end of the day, he got in the boat with the disciples and went to the other side. Did you get that? Did you get that? Don't team up with unbelievers. How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? Partner. What union can there be between God's temple and idols? Do you see union, partner? There's some people you can't be in union with, you can't partner with. You move into their life to teach and to preach and to share and to love and to declare you have God in you. You can help them if they'll listen. If they won't listen, you back up and you pray for them. And then God will open the door maybe for you to go a second time and help them. But I'm not a partner. I'm not on their team. I'm not on their side. I'm not against them. But I'm not allowing them to influence my life. Either I can influence you, or I'll back up and pray for you. But you're not going to cause me to be corrupted, to be infected, to be affected. Now, here's the thing. I read some medical data years ago about how to catch cold. You know how to catch cold? I happen to know how to catch cold. They did some wonderful research, and they got a very small room. They took 50% of the people were very sick, coughing, sneezing, gagging, choking. The other people were totally well. They put them at a conference table where they were just right across from one another to see how fast it did for days, see how fast these people had the cold, could give their cold to these people who didn't have a cold. It's quite interesting. I loved the, and they did this several different ways, seven different times. Now, here's the influx of it. This has saved me many a cold. This will help you in your associations. The people who caught a cold were the people who put their finger in their eye or in their nose. In other words, they took the atmosphere that was bad, where there had been infection and affection and corruption, and they took that and they put it in their nose. When we travel, one thing I never do, Wayne and I have learned, because we go in places. Once you shake their hand, you'll never touch your face again. I don't care if your eye's falling out. It never amazes me. If somebody shakes your hand on Sunday morning, first of all, they do their nose. And then they offer you their hand. Have you ever had that? That's the truth. Then they offer you your hand, and then right after you shake their hand, your eye itches. It's like, But see, I don't want their germs to affect my life. I have a work to do for God, and I found that I do it better without a cold than with a cold. Colds are everywhere. You can get any disease that you apply for. You apply for disease with the words of your mouth, and they'll come. But I found out 9 times out of 10, if I keep my hands off of my face, I'll never catch anything you've got. And one thing I do when I pray for people, I never touch my face again until I've scoured my hands. Because what you have, I apply to my life with my finger. And if they have some things and they're infecting you and they're corrupting you and they're affecting you and they're not righteous and they're not godly, they don't have godly wisdom, they don't have peace, they're up and down, they're in and out. You affect their life, but don't bring them into your life in such close proximity that you're teamed with them, that you're partnered with them, that you're in union with them, that their finger is up your nose. Don't put anybody else's finger in your nose. Amen. Joel, when he was little, neither one of our babies were pacifier babies. We tried. They weren't interested. And he sucked his thumb, but always with his second finger up his nose. I mean, for a year. And then one day his finger was too long. It wouldn't go up his nose. Oh, he cried and cried. He couldn't figure that out. And it took me a little while to figure out what's wrong here, what is wrong. You know, mothers are supposed to have solutions. I'm trying to figure out what in the world is wrong. And then it dawned on me one day, his finger's too long now. He could put that little finger right up his mouth, the thumb right up his mouth, that little finger right up his nose. He had done that for a long time. And the finger's too long. So I said, here, Mom will help you. We put that finger next to the nose. We had to regroup. And let me put it this way so you get it. If you have a friend with their finger up your nose, you need to move their finger and put it next to your nose. Get it out of your face. Don't let them infect, affect, or corrupt your life. Don't let them ruin or destroy or harm you. You stand for God. You grow in God. You're going to bear fruit. You're not going to wilt. You know somebody that wilts, you hate to see them coming, don't you? We had a gentleman who used to come talk to us all the time. He was always wilted, always in a mess, always. Oh, oh. One day I saw him coming. I said, because we have a 100-yard driveway, I said, Dwayne, is it your turn or mine? You talk to him. Wayne said, didn't I talk to him last time? Just like, oh, no, here he comes again. You couldn't encourage him. You couldn't help him. You couldn't strengthen him. He's went from woe to woe to woe. Took us 2 decades getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, but we got it. All is well. Say, I will be a friend of righteousness, of peace, of wisdom, of faith. They will not infect my life. In a lot of countries in the world, particularly in Moscow, it's their custom. When they talk to you, they talk nose to nose. It drives me crazy. When somebody's, and they do, it's just everybody. It's not one person, it's everybody. They're just right here. And one day, my interpreter, she's precious, precious, precious. I backed her up. I said, you're supposed to give me 2 foot of personal space. She never had heard that in her entire life. She didn't have a clue what that meant. I said, you're supposed to back off. You're not supposed to get in people's face. You have to give them room for their words to come out and talk to you. She said, why? And I could see, you know, you can step on some cultural lines that will not disappear. You can't erase them. They won't disappear. I said, never mind. Just get as close as you want. I'm listening. Some things can't change, but you can change you. You can change you. You can be a friend. It says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And says a friend loves at all times. You need a friend that loves you no matter what. But they don't agree with you if you're wrong. They love you enough to say, wait a minute, let's think about this. Or you might have to say, you know, I know you don't want to hear this, but can you be that kind of friend? Will you promise me if the Lord's dealing with you about your friendships that you'll take a step and obey? Will you promise me that? And if you have a difficult relationship that you can't get rid of, like they're related to you, will you find a friend that will help you and encourage you, that will keep you from wavering in difficult times? Will you do that for me? Will you raise your hand and do that for me? Say, I'll do that. We thank you, Father. We feel like this was the word of the Lord. Unusual for me, never done it before, may never do it again, but I know you've spoken. And I thank you, every single person here will digest what they need to digest, hear what they need to hear, and be better off. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.